everybody could please stand and sing I Love You, Lord with us for our call to worship.
Sunday morning, let us pray together. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for inviting us to your house. Thank you for allowing us to worship with you and to be part of this time as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ on every Sunday, for we are truly Easter people. Now bless us in our worshiping and our singing and all that we do, and may God's power richly bless us this day. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Shall we gather at the river, page 723, let us stand and sing together. And on the screen.
With its crystal tide forever,
remain standing and read our confession and pardon that is found on page 8. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. We come to you this day, O Lord, thanking you for being allowed to come and ask for our prayer requests, our concerns, and our thanksgivings. Thanking you for knowing that we can come to you directly and pray together, that we are your family. We have become your friends by obeying your law, and we have listened to the cry of the needy, and we have paid attention to the voice of the one who calls us to salvation. We are your family. We come together as family that is broken at times, and yet that never stops us from being family. We call you Lord and Savior, and we rightfully do call you that. And yet, sometimes we don't even remember to call on you. Sometimes we give up. Sometimes we look down. Sometimes we're not sure. And sometimes we simply struggle. And always you're waiting for us to speak to you. And always you're waiting to put your arms around us. Always you're wanting to be one with us. So help us to seek that path. Help us to be want to be one with you in gloriousness and thanksgiving. And we ask, O Lord, this day, that you allow each of us to lift up, either silently or verbally, the prayers that are on our hearts at this very moment. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And I personally thank you, Lord, for surgery that went well for Mary Lynn and for others in this congregation this week, that the healing of those surgeries will continue to take place and that life will continue to grow stronger for them. Now bless us this day. Lead us to your salvation and teach us your love. And we pray this prayer in the name of the one who did die on that cross and rose again the third day, Jesus our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Our hymn is page 616, Come Sinners to the Gospel Feast. Let us stand and sing together.
Need not one be led.
Come forward this time, please. Let us pray together. Let us behold your grace, the grace that gives everything to us. Let us return ourselves to you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
If everyone would please stand for the reading of our scripture today. It's from the book of Luke, chapter 14, verses 16 through 23. Then Jesus said to him, "Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of land, and I must go out and see it. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I have just been married, and therefore I cannot come.' So the slave returned and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and said to his slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and lanes of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' And the slave said, 'Sir, what you ordered has been done, and there is still room.' Then the master said to the slave, 'Go out into the roads and lanes and compel people to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. The word of God for the people of God. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Today, bless us in it and let us find your grace in it. And may your love teach us your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The scripture of invitation has been read today. It is an invitation that was open to a few, and they all had excuses, at least most of them did. "Just got married, my oxen's in the ditch, these things are going on, I can't make it. Please send my regrets." People who are listening to this know that that first group of people, as Jesus is telling the story, is the nation of Israel. The message was sent. He was there for them first. And guess what? Many of them would not listen. So he sends out another invitation. This is to the people of streets of the nation. They're invited. The nation of Israel, they're invited as a whole nation to come, not just the leaders. And while many of them come, guess what? Some of them still do not. So then their message is sent to the lame and the broken, the outcast, the Gentiles of that day, those who are not perceived to be worthy to be at that table. And they come and they fill the room. Now, I want you to notice some things here in this message that I want you, and I say you, all good preachers realize that if they point a finger at you, that four other fingers and a thumb are pointing back to them. I want you to think about this for a second. I want you to address your own theology. A lot of people don't like theology. They'd rather us preach things that don't make us think. A lot of folks want to go to church, be told how to do, what to do, how to act, how to go about our business, and go home feeling good about ourselves. Well, I think being in the presence of God should be enough to make you go home and feel good about yourself. Theology sometimes is part of the conversation. As my daughters, I think all of them will tell you, specifically my youngest one, because she's living with us at this moment, but all of our daughters will know that they were raised in a house of a person who loves philosophy, loves psychology and loves theology, not necessarily in that order. Depends on the conversation, which one I love the most, to be frank with you about it. And I always wanted, and I don't know if I've accomplished this, that my daughters would have to answer that question for you at another time, that even though I may be strict in some ways, I've always wanted them to have their own minds about things. I've always believed that my job is to raise them, teach them certain values, and let them become their own people. And all you have to do is look at my two oldest children to find out that they might have been raised in the same house, but one cannot be sure about that because they are totally and completely different. They have nothing in common with each other except they have the same parents. They live different lives from different perspectives, and both of those things, whether I agree with them or not, are good because they are their own people. Well, the same is in church. Pastor's job is to pique the interest, raise the thought process, and yes, most importantly, to see that people know that Jesus Christ is the person they need to believe in as their Lord and Savior. That is our job. That is our calling. It is not to make you think the way I think. Lord knows I would hate for y'all to have the jumbled up mind that I have, that works in this brain all the time. So if you hear the scripture today, theologically, what was the qualification to enter the banquet? Unless y'all find something different than I find, theologically, to enter the banquet, all you needed was an invitation. Now, the invitation got wider as people didn't show up, and one could have a long conversation about that if one wanted to. But at the end of the day, the street people are the one that showed up. The poor, the wretched, the blind, the lame, the brokenhearted. That kind of describes us, doesn't it? Isn't that we? And in fact, in many cases, the only thing that we have in common is a faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We're from different places, different thought processes. I mean, y'all all think you're from the South till you talk to us people from Georgia and Alabama, and we think y'all kind of Northerners, just on the edge. You're not from the Deep South. You don't have that Deep South accent that y'all still hear in my voice, even without the code. But you are from the South. Just ask any New Yorker. They'll tell you you're from the South. See, we're all in this place of understanding, and we're all in this place of trying to figure it out. So the invitation is all that was necessary. Now the invitation here is to the banquet. I don't know about y'all, but I really want to go to that heavenly banquet. I really want to sit at the table. I don't need the first seat. That's God's. I don't even need the second or third seat. I'll take the seat on the cabin down by the river where the stream is flowing and everything is quiet and peaceful. Just give me that banquet seat. I don't need the big one. I just want to be invited. Hence the theology of the church, the parts we agree with and the parts we disagree with, all rotate around the invitation. Who is not invited? I'm always going to be a big believer of John 3:16 and John 3:17. It never leaves me. Got me in a lot of trouble over the years. A lot of people have totally disagreed with me on this. But it's very clear that whosoever believes is invited, and God did not come to condemn, but to bring salvation. Are those beginning steps? Yes. Are we supposed to be raised to become adults in the Scripture and to think on our own and hear God's calling and to interpret the Scripture and see what it actually says compared to what we want it to say? Yes. But I'm a big believer that I really like the Bible the way I want it to be written. How about y'all? And yet there are certain things Scripture say that we can't hide from. And so we walk through this invitation. It's no different than the communion invitation. When I stand up here, and I don't do it every time we have communion, maybe I should, but when I stand up here and say, this is the Lord's table, not the United Methodist table, not my table, not Rockwood's table, it is God's table. And all invited, those who believe in Him, and those who may believe in Him for the first time as they take the communion, are invited to this table. Do I mean that? I always remember a story. It's a true story. I was in Sunday worship one time, and this person who had spent his night, here's my clue that I'm really from the deep south, in the honky-tonk. And he came in the church that morning. He had been drinking, smelled like it. He sat on the back row because he felt like he couldn't sit in closer. And when I offered communion, guess what he did? He got up and walked down. Had this nice, wonderful person. I won't tell you which male or female. There's about three persons in front of him. Said, you will not serve him communion. He is not worthy. And me being me, I said, neither are you, and I'm still going to serve it to you. And I handed it to that person, and then I served him. The next day, he called me to his house and said, I accepted Jesus when I took that communion. And I want to straighten my life out. He went to the kitchen and got five bottles of vodka, poured it down the sink, and according to his wife, he never took a drink of anything more than hot coffee the rest of his life. What about a said no? He didn't deserve it. No more than I deserve to serve it. The invitation to salvation. I truly believe, friends, that the church has lost its way because we've got more invitations to social clubs than we do salvation. More invitations. And you know how much I love to play golf. We have more invitations to golf parties than we do salvation. The church has lost its way because, stealing a line from somebody from a long time ago that I don't remember who was the first person that said it, we need to remember to keep the main thing, the main thing. John Wesley said it another way to his preachers who were leaving for America from England. All you have to do is save souls. God will take care of the rest. We've lost that, and I mourn that. I truly do. because that is who we're supposed to be. Now, on this day, when communion is to be offered, I'll say it again. Table's open. It's not mine, not yours. It's God. And I found over the years, with my 30, almost 8 years in the Methodist Church, and my other years in that other denomination, that if I ever learn to let God have it, I get to be at peace more than I ever am. I just have to turn it over. So what is this table? It's the body and blood of Christ. Simply and completely given that way. I'm going to do something this morning I've not done here in my entire 2 years. I do it every communion Sunday at Pleasant Hill. They do church differently than y'all do church. They sing Coatesbury and songs like that. They do things different. That's who they are. That's why sometimes when I walk here, you see me look at the bulletin, try to remember which place I'm in. If y'all would like to come to the table, we're not reading anything, Keith, so just don't worry about it anymore. None of the reading's going to happen, okay? So just hang. Ladies, do what we do at Pleasant Hill. If they watch this, they might pass. Y'all ready? Crap. I want to remind everyone that's come to this table that that piece of bread that is being broken at this very moment, I'm telling you, you've got to watch, you've got to be ready, is Christ's body. It's not a piece of bread. It may look like one. It might even taste like one. But that represents the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this cup that's being held, it may taste like grape juice. And in fact, it probably is. But when I pray in a moment, guess what that becomes? It represents the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He died on a cross for that. He bled and hurt for that. He gave his life for us. And not anybody else but us. And that means all of us. That's the gift of this table. If you come to it doubting that, come anyway. God will change your mind. If you come to it fully believing in it, praise God for it. And not just take bread and wine, but body and blood. Let it be the fullness and the completeness of the gift God has given us. And whether we read about it, or we simply do this, it is no less and no more than that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and the love that you give us. This is the body and the blood of Christ. It is given to us in totality and completeness. We cannot add to it and we cannot take away from it. It is a gift from you. So bless it, O Lord. And in blessing it, let us be blessed. In doing so, let us pray the prayer that you prayed to your children, taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Come and partake. The ladies, I think, will serve the choir and everybody up here first except me, and then they will come and lead you to communion.
As we sing our final song, page 102, or on the screen. Now thank we all our God.
Who wonders things are done?
Now let us go in the faith and the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have worshiped. We have heard your word read. We have heard it sung and proclaimed. And we have had the pleasure to take the communion of our Lord and Savior. Now let us go in peace. May the God who reigns forever and ever go with us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.